Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
That's the opening of Your Love by Frankie Knuckles. It's one of the recurring songs throughout the Netflix hit series One Day. And anyone who enjoyed that will have heard the 80s and 90s playlist. And you'll have loved that as much as the drama playing out on screen. From Kate Bush with her 1985 hit Running Up a Hill, which featured in Stranger Things, to Peaky Blinders being linked inextricably with Nick Cave's hit Red Right Hand. Music can really help set the scene for the audience. But what shows have the very best soundtracks and why? Well, to answer that question, I'm joined now by Simon Marr, who's founder of 8radio.com. Hello, Simon.
Morning.
I loved the soundtrack for One Day. Have you watched the series?
Bizarrely, I've only seen one episode of the series, but I've probably listened to every song from the soundtrack.
Yeah, you love it because we're of the same era and it really speaks to you because you go, it was the one series I watched where I remember doing this when I was listening to that.
And that's the secret to all of this is you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to make that association. And when I was much, much younger, one of the jobs I wanted is I wanted to be a music supervisor for the movies. You know, I wanted
a
to
great
be the,
gig.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to be the, because I'd sat and watched so many movies where, you know, somebody would be having doubts about their life and then Dido would play and then they'd walk through autumn leaves and they'd suddenly come to the realization, I need to be back in small town America.
Yes, you know, and off they'd go.
Exactly. And off they would go, and the girl who ran the bakery, suddenly they'd both be back together again. Everything would be great. And I wanted to be the guy who did that. And since then, I've loved all things soundtrack.
Listen, with your nerdish nature about music, you would know every song for every scenario. So, you know, it's the perfect job for you. Look, you can still do it. Let's go to the 1990s and give the 1990s the Derry Girl treatment. That's En Vogue with My Lovin', but we don't think about En Vogue when we hear that song anymore, do we, Simon?
No, we think about Michelle and Jerry Girls and Setting the Chipper on Fire.
Yeah. You
know? And that's what it is, and that's where you have to have. And it's even, you get the feeling that there could be a music supervisor, but if you've come up with a show, you're the showrunner, so you're Lisa McGee working on Jerry Girls, you can be sure that she's saying, I want that song to go with that scene, to create this feeling or to create this moment. You know, that's what they're at. And Jerry Girls did it so well.
Yeah, it's the genius of the series, really, isn't it?
Oh,
because
absolutely
the whole thing takes you back. It's an immersive experience when the music fits your memories of that time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And so, do you know, sometimes, now, it's not the case in Jerry Girls, but in some programmes, is that the music works better than the show itself. It so happens that where Jerry Girls does it so well is it managed to get that combination right. It was the writing, it was the acting, it was the staging, and then the music just adds to it. But if you can associate a song with a moment in drama or comedy or any sort of form of entertainment, you know you've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah,
Jerry Girls
it's
does
worked.
It so well.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's something else happening as well with music in the newer TV series like Bridgerton, because they've taken modern pop songs and then they've used them in a really different way. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
You know, that can be really annoying too, because it can be just on the tip of your fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? What is that?
Yeah. Now, I wasn't convinced by the idea of this when they started talking about this, because they started playing clips, I think, of one of the early trailers, and they used Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. And I was like, I'm not a fan of slowing down pop or rock songs to use them, because they've been used in too many dodgy Christmas commercials. But when they came up with this for Bridgerton and were able to do the dance sequences with it,
yeah,
suddenly it makes an awful lot of sense.
We're driving people mad now because we haven't said that is Material Girl by Madonna.
It is.
Bridgerton style.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can imagine it, because you can picture the scene. You can picture the big dance floor. You can picture the setting all of the time. And then you add the music in, and then it really adds to it. So it's an interesting approach to take, because they could have just gone with any waltz or any sort of music of the time of Bridgerton, but they decided to go contemporary with it. And in this case, I have to say, I was won around by this one.
I think it really works.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
elevates the whole thing.
It does.
And it makes you feel like you're watching something that is really different to anything you've seen before, any period drama that
Absolutely.
You've enjoyed in the past.
Absolutely. And it's really difficult to do it well. Like, those arrangements, the arrangements that they have are amazing. Now, in fairness to them, you're coming from sort of early or mid-1980s Madonna. So the groundwork is there. They're great pop songs with a great rhythm and a great melody and all that stuff. So when you slow them down and you make them classical, they work well.
Messages coming in from people listening. Kevin says the best soundtrack to a television show has to be The Sopranos.
Ah, yes.
The music used for the scenes matched perfectly the mood and the storyline at the time.
Yeah, oh, completely, completely so. And they would have watched, when they were making The Sopranos, they watched Goodfellas. So they've seen stuff, they've seen the end of Layla that's used in a scene where everybody's being butchered, you know, and they've worked out that this is how you do it. If you're doing a gangster sort of a series, there's a particular way and a particular style of music to go with, and Sopranos do it so well.
Now, somebody else mentioning Nick Cave's Red Right Hand and Peaky,
yeah, Peaky Blinders,
which
yeah.
we have noted. Cheers and The Sopranos, another one. Soundtrack to Cheers, does that ring a bell?
Well, it's more, I suppose, the music that they use, so that everybody knows your name. It's unmistakable.
Yeah. Sheila's in Kenmare, and she says the soundtrack for The Umbrella Academy, with Bridgerton, are wonderful. And then another one, and this is going back a while, back to the late 60s, Tom in Newcastle and Wicklow. He says the absolute best TV soundtrack ever has to be The Avengers, starring Diana Rigg and Patrick McNee. And another one, Airwolf or Inspector Morse. Everyone has their own take on this. Now, if you're wearing leg warmers for the first time, you need to know.
I remember the days well.
Yes, that we remember the days when they first became a thing back in the 1980s, when this TV series prompted many a young person into leg warmers. Saturday at home, and you'd have an awful job trying to get everybody to be quiet because everyone would be rushing around doing stuff on a Saturday. It's like, fame is on, everybody stop.
In like real cultural phenomenon territory. And unusual enough in that it was songs, but they were original songs written for the show. So that rather than going out and trawling for tracks, they actually had to go and write them. So tracks like that and High Fidelity and Star Maker and all of those became big songs in their own right, but specifically written for one TV show.
And that's probably unusual, that they'd outlive the TV show almost.
Oh yeah.
And become famous in their own right.
Completely so, completely so. And it's one of those things that doesn't happen so much now. And an awful lot of this has come down to the fact that the way the music business works has changed so much, that you've got artists where it used to be you were going to beg to try and get an artist to release a song for you to use in their TV show. Now you've got artists who are pitching all of the time at music supervisors because people aren't buying albums in the same way that they used to. But now it's like, if I can be synced onto a TV show, if I can make it on to whatever the latest, if I can make it onto the One Day soundtrack, if I can make it onto whatever the new drama or comedy is, now I've got sync rights on this and this is worth a lot of cash.
I'm so glad that this person has texted in and reminded us of the soundtrack to It's a Sin on Channel 4.
Brilliant. Absolutely
top
brilliant.
Notch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Top notch. Thelma and Louise says Bernadette, which is a film.
Of course.
But
we're
talking about a TV series. Now, we're going to a drama series made in the 2000s. This covered the advertising world from 1960 until 1970.
Loved this.
I absolutely loved it. Mad Men. Back and watch Mad Men again, or are we done with it?
I could happily go back and watch Mad Men again. It's so good, and what it does so well is it manages to cover quite an extended period of time. There's not that many TV shows that do it. Even Jerry Girls, for all its brilliance, is probably three series over maybe 3 years, maybe even less than 3 years that it covers.
That spanned the decades, didn't it?
Yeah, whereas it was from the very, very early days of those New York ad agencies and right the way up, and it aged itself so well. But musically, they managed to even sneak in sort of 1990s artists like the Cranberries and the Decemberists from the 2000s made it in there as well. Mm-hmm. But the tracks that people will really remember is Don Draper walking along through a fabulously coloured backdrop while And the Man is playing.
Which is the one we've just listened to there.
Yeah, and it's just an amazing use of, and you can imagine how smug they must have been when they sat and they went, this is it. This is it, and this works.
This is the song.
But what has happened for some, and when I was doing a bit of research on this, reading interviews with a couple of music supervisors who found the perfect song and then went and asked the artist, and the artist has gone, no, you can't have it. And it has almost ruined an awful lot of things. And there's been scenes that have gone back and have been completely reshot and reset because they couldn't get the song.
Now, I have a listener who taking us back to fame. I have memories of begging my mammy to knit me leg warmers. Poor mammies, they always get the raw end of this, don't they? Now, the show is then that should be lauded for the soundtrack, but the TV series didn't translate to the audience.
Yeah,
a few of those.
Yeah, there's lots of these. And there's series that sort of never kind of even made it out of that, you know, that first series were cancelled. We're now in a time where series regularly get cancelled after one and two series. Whereas in the past, you were on a five or a six series run normally. But one of my favourites was My So-Called Life, which is Clara Danes and Jared Leto. I think it only had one series. And even then, it was a truncated series. Never made it past the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So it didn't get its second half of its series, but it had Sonic Youth and Buffalo Tom, every bit of 1990s US college rock shoegazing stuff that was on it. And it was brilliant, and it was all long stares, and they used silence very, very well, but they also used music so, so well. But the series was utterly forgotten about afterwards.
Okay, so worth going back to the soundtrack, but maybe not the TV series.
Exactly.
Now, the last time we were here, we were rather surprised that you absolutely love the heartbreaking song.
Huge
the sad
fan.
Song. So how are they used to best advantage in the TV shows?
This is probably the trickiest. Because whether you're doing TV or whether you're doing film, generally because it's visual, is that you can see what's going on. So you don't always necessarily have to drag them misery out of people, like, you know. So, but when it comes to soundtracks, it's sometimes it's the case of trying to use opposite, so trying to use a very happy song, but it might be in a medical drama towards the end of somebody's life, or maybe it's just a song that's where you can get away with your slowed down version of a song, or you can drag it. I'm sure that Coldplay's Fix You has been used in every medical drama.
That's just lazy
ever
now, isn't it?
But it is. That's the thing. But there was at one point Scrubs, which was a sort of a comedy drama that ran for eight seasons that they got out of that. But they used Colin Hay, who was the guy from Men at Work who did Down Under. But they had a great song called Overkill, and he spent spent the episode walking around with an acoustic guitar in a hospital ground singing Overkill. And it works beautifully because it matched the mood and it matched the situation every time.
Well, listen, we had our listener Bernadette reminding us about Thelma and Louise. And I said, no, that's movies now. We're doing series, but we will. We'll mention some notable movie soundtracks now, starting with this one. Stuck in the Middle with You by the Steelers from Reservoir Dogs.
Yes. I mean, yeah, and again, you can be sure that Tarantino is involved in picking these songs. You know, he's not just, find me something from the 60s or the 70s that goes along with a scene of somebody having their ears cut off. Like, you know, there's got to be something to it. And that is where movie soundtracks really come into their own. But the difference in a movie soundtrack is a lot of the time you get to use a lot of the song. You know, so sometimes in TV shows, so we talked about Derry Girls earlier on, there's a lot of little clips that are only 4 and 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a movie, when you've got your 90 minutes or your 120 minutes runtime, you can use 2 or 3 minutes. And whether that's for a montage, like Stuck in the Middle with You, or it's just something that you use as, you know, the backing to a scene, is you can get away. It lets you stretch the musical legs of a song a bit more.
So a few more of them that you like then.
A few more. I love High Fidelity, which is the Nick Hornby movie, Nick Hornby written movie with John Cusack. And he runs a record store. And he's a complete music geek. And what's not to love about that? But everything, Velvet Underground, and everybody is on that one. Gross Point Blank, which we're back to John Cusack again. But they have the advantage that they're running a radio station. And the radio station runs like in a TV program like Northern Exposure, where there's a radio station in it. So it sets it up to use all of these things.
Perfect.
They're doing a retro weekend. And then of an Irish one is that, of course, Oscar winners, Glenn Hansard and Marqueta Urglova, then from Once as well. When they did Falling Slowly on that as well, and 500 Days of Summer, which is another one of those movies where it's like it's the romance, but the romance doesn't necessarily work out, but it means that they can trot out Regina Spektor, they can trot out Feist and everybody who would go along with these things, and gives them a really good sound of a particular time, but they get to use loads of the songs. And I love that, because to be in a cinema with the huge speakers, you know, and to hear those songs
getting
that
the
are
full
blasting
effect.
It's absolutely where you should see all of these things.
More listeners?
Even the big TV shows. Sorry, I'm...
No, you're all right. Fargo. Fargo's another big TV show, and a listener says all 4 seasons. Best soundtrack.
Absolutely. Agreed.
And Barbara in Barna says, but it's between, for her, Succession and White Lotus.
Yes, yeah, and that's the thing when you've got, and there's people now, well, I'm watching The Loudest Voice at the moment, which you can watch on the RT player. It's on Monday nights as well. Fascinating and horrible at the same time, sort of a TV series, but it's managed to get that. It's got that real somber tone into all of the music that they're using as well. So even though they're not going and using sort of soundtrack as in well-known artists, it's the music that they've done, the original compositions that they use, sounds very much like Succession, but works really well.
The theme tune for me from Succession dominates so much that I can't actually remember what other music they used in it. You know, it's unmistakable the music they're using for the theme. So that's first and foremost in my head. The closing song then for a TV series, that's really important
it is because nobody quite knows how to finish a TV series. Like, there's all sorts of reasons why they'll end. Some come to the end of a natural sequence, some are being cancelled, and then if you're like something like Game of Thrones, you just have no idea what to do at the end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and you end up making a mess
of it.
Anybody who's ever watched it. But you mentioned The Sopranos earlier on, and The Sopranos did this supremely well. Well, people were left frustrated by it, which is fair enough. People were left wanting more, which is absolutely fair enough too. But it was a case of what's going to happen to Tony Soprano in the end of this. And it turns out, I don't think we need to actually reveal the ending of the series if you've never watched it, but it just ends perfectly, and it ends with the perfect song. And it's back to our medical dramas again, where it was all about make it something maybe that little bit opposite. And they did it with Journey. Up now.
Don't Stop Believing there with Journey. I enjoy that immensely, Simon. Thank you very much.
Thank
Simon
you.
Marr, founder of 8radio.com.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.